Howdy, folks, and welcome to Moose Podcast number 499, the self-assignment. Yeah, episode 499. We're getting up there. Woo! Trust you guys are doing well. Here we are near the end of April, the 27th, and life's just cranking along. We have kind of a first here at the ranch this year. We have these nesting boxes. We call them condos because they're two boxes on top of each other, but they're literally one physical unit, but there's two holes. We have red-breasted and pygmy nuthatches nesting in the condo at the same time. It's kind of cool, really kind of exciting. Can't wait. I mean, think about it. If they, at some point, right, they're going to have to go back and forth to feed the chicks. I can't wait and hope that I'm going to get a shot of both species at the same time doing that. So I can dream. But I trust you guys are doing well, enjoying spring. Boy, we had 10-degree weather in the morning. Oh, gosh. But everything keeps going. I trust it is for you as well. This episode of the Moose Podcast is being recorded again through Adobe Podcast Beta, who creates both the vocal and the transcript that you'll find at the dedicated blog post on my website, moosepeterson.com, along with the archive. You can also head off to your favorite spots like YouTube and Spotify and iTunes to listen to the podcast. Appreciate you guys, you know, talking about it, getting more people to come and listen. I'm grateful for the extra ears and minds. And if you have questions, please, please, please don't hesitate to reach out. That is why I'm here. It's why I do these, to see if I can help you kind of avoid all the pitfalls that I have had the great good fortune to fall into and then learn from. So learn from my mistakes and build on them. Ask the questions. But thanks so much for your support. It's really, really, really appreciated. Had a couple emails of late that I didn't get into last week's episode that I just want to touch on. They're about packing. And the basic question was, how do I pack the camera gear to go on the trips when I'm flying in a commercial flight? Great question. So I have kits. I have a kit, quote unquote, for wildlife, a kit for aviation, and a kit for landscape. So depending on what I'm going off to do, I'm going to pack accordingly. So for example, and it just hell happens that the last two trips, one was for aviation, one was for critters. Both of those, I used the Think Tank Airport Advantage XT roller bag. I try not to put things in my back anymore. Yeah, I know I designed photo packs, but you know, it's just, it's a lot easier. You can roll because I can just put my briefcase on the handle and zip through airports. Anyway, back to packing. I tend to have the bag completely closed and I turn it over. So I'm working on the back side of the bag, not the front side with the flap, because the back side is a little bit more stable. And then I will put my lenses and gear on the back and arrange it to see how they will fit in the space. Then I take a picture of the iPhone, turn the bag back over, open the flap, and arrange the dividers accordingly. And with the Airport Advantage XT, I'm taking these last two trips basically the same gear. So there's the Z9, and it is attached to the 18600. And then next to that is the Z8 attached to the 7200 F282. And then there's a little compartment for the ZR. And then the 24-70 282 version 2, and the 1424, no 2 after that one, all go underneath that on the, what would be the, I guess if you're looking down on it, and the handles at your chest would be on the left side. The Z9 with 18600 would be on the right side. There's space below the Z9 with the 18600. That's where I put the 1.4, Z1.4, and 2X. And there's an extra space where I put my backup drive for my images, and I have a white towel and baseball cap, and that basically fills it up. I don't put anything in the flap. And once that's all packed and good to go, I take an iPhone picture of it for a number of reasons. The main one is so next time I pack it, I don't have to reinvent the wheel. So I hope that answers that question. A little lengthy answer, but I thought I should get it in there. I've got an absolutely a marvelous book to recommend to you this week. Heard about it from a TED Talk, Rule Makers, Rule Breakers by Michelle Gelfand. Now, there's times this book is really dry. There are some times where this book will have you in stitches. Now, it's not about, you know, figuring out when you can break the rules of composition or when you can go across that fence that says, do not trespass. It's not that kind of book. It's not really, quote unquote, geared towards photographers yet. And it really ties in with this week's subject. It does apply to photography. You just got to do the application. I'm just going to read, because you might be wondering, Rule Makers, Rule Breakers. Because then its subtitle is Tight and Loose Cultures and the Secret Signals that Direct Our Lives. So I'm just going to read one paragraph off the back of the book because it really kind of does a great job of talking about it. Why are clocks in Germany so accurate while those in Brazil are frequently wrong? Why are red and blue states really so divided? Why is the driver of a Jaguar more likely to run a red light than the driver of a plumber's van? Why does one spouse prize running a tight ship while the other refuses to sweat the small stuff? Yeah, that's the kind of answers this book actually starts to answer. Now, not to give away the ending or be a spoiler, just think of it this way. Have you ever wondered why you posted a photograph and you thought it was just marvelous? You got no likes. And then you post another one that you really don't think much of, but you just need to post something and everybody loves it and you wonder why? Well, here you go. This will give you some insights into that process. So is that not a book that delves into photography without talking about shutter speeds and apertures? I think so. So that's Rule Makers, Rule Breakers by Michelle Gelfand. You'll find it on the link for it in the blog post on the website, also in the doodad list there on the website. Great read. Want to thank my good friends at Bedford, bedfords.com for, again, being the sponsor, not just this podcast, but all of us photographers. It's, you know, little camera stores, I tell you, they in Bedford's isn't little, there's seven of them. They just don't get enough love as far as I'm concerned. I hear a lot of moaning, but man, the great stuff they do. And I appreciate you that send the love notes thanking me for sending you to Bedford, especially, you know, like right now you've got, Nikon has some pretty, really pretty substantial rebates. Wonder why. And I won't go there. Anyway, once you check out, you get a lot of them are instant rebates. And then on top of that, you get the Moose discount. So, I mean, it's like, it doesn't matter what brand you buy. They have incredible prices for everything in the store. When I get ready for a trip, like I did this time, I go out and I grab something. It's like, it was just a little doodad, right? It's a little flash shoe doohickey thing. Called them up. They had it. Sent it to me 2 days later. I was good as gold. I mean, I think makes life just so simple. And they got great people. So, but you go to the website, bedfords.com, give them a phone call, head into the store personally, enjoy, say hello, tell them Moose sent you. And when you check out, say, remember, Moose sent me. And you'll see something after you check out that you'll go, wow, that's nice. That's Bedfords, bedfords.com. Now, I've been published a few times across the globe here in my career, and people are always surprised to find out that I've never been given an assignment, as in, ding, 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 hey, Moose, we need you to go photograph the Woodchuck Mackinac over in Nova Scotia. Here's a budget. Have fun. Yeah. Now that phone call has never come to moi. In fact, everything I've done has been self-assignments. Now, when I was going to school at Brooks, probably once a quarter, the teacher we have, because classes only lasted for 7 weeks and you change, would have a self-assignment. They scared the bejiggers out of me. Because you had 7 working days to figure out what you want to photograph, the story you wanted to tell, execute it, and present it. 7 days. It was all photographic. There was no text involved. But I'm telling you, that 19 years old, that's just like what they expect from somebody who's 19 to go and do. And I'll be honest with you. I'm going to say other than there's only one that really stuck out in my mind. That's when I went and worked with the fire crew down at Point Magoo Naval Station. The rest of them, man, were just like, oh, what a snore. And I think it's really kind of funny that my whole life has basically been what scared the bejiggers out of me once upon a time, the self-assignment. And it might scare the bejiggers out of you, which perhaps why you have not taken on the self-assignment. Now, the self-assignment can be as simplistic as just one photograph. And that's probably a great spot to start. But yes, you're right. You guessed it. I'm going to encourage you to go beyond just that one photo that you're going to put on social. I'm going to encourage you to do that story, you know, 5 or more photographs and perhaps no words. And if you get past that, put it with words and get it to a publisher and share that. Now, in this, you got to wonder, where does one start, right? It's a great question. Where do you start? The advice I give those folks to ask me this is start with what you're passionate about. Seriously, start with what you're passionate about. It doesn't matter if it's your normal genre of photography or not. For example, let's just say that you are into photographing motorcycle speedway racing. Pretty, you know, specialized little niche. Cool stuff. There's some great shots out there. I really love that stuff. Never did it. Makes me wonder. But all of a sudden, you and your better half, maybe just you, have got a really great green thumb. And you go online, and you order some tomatillo seeds, and you get one of those special little $8 inside the house greenhouses from Amazon, and you start growing. And all of a sudden, you see 2 days later, this little sprout, and it keeps on going and keeps on going in this thing. And then all of a sudden, you've transplanted out in the garden. And then all of a sudden, you've got these great tomatillos that you mix with avocados and make guacamole. I'm getting off the track here. Anyway, let's just say that Mr. Motorcycle Shooter now wants to photograph the life of the plant because you're now passionate about it. Well, talk about a really cool little story, right? And there's all ways you could photograph this. Everything from the plant growing, maybe a time lapse. You could do making some meal out of the tomatillos to finish it off. I mean, start with something that you're passionate about. Doesn't mean passionate about for your whole life, but it could be just that moment, and that could be the great seed of germination. See how I tied that back in? Tricky, huh? And that can get you to start your self-assignment. Now, as you think about what you're passionate about, consider some other little things in the self-assignment. For example, work within your capabilities. Stick within your you could say, your expertise. Don't go all of a sudden, you know, decide to go, I want to go photograph the dark backside of the moon like the astronauts do. It's not attainable. So don't go there. Stick within your expertise to get going. Kind of, you could say, make it as simple. So there's this little roadblocks, and then of course, physical and mental roadblocks. When you don't have any, it just keeps you moving forward. At the same time, find the self-assignment that fits the gear you have right now in your gear locker, in your kit. Don't think of something that, you know, you're going to have to go spend money. Don't do that. Don't put that pressure on you. Keep it simple, stupid. Works really good for the self-assignment, man, especially when it comes to funding it. Don't make it expensive. Make it so it fits your budget. Maybe you don't need any budget for whatever you have passion about because you just want to start. Because once you start and you do your first one, you'll find out all of a sudden you'll come up with the next one. Then you'll start getting goals. And those goals are cool because then you start doing research for those goals. And then as you get a little more confident, you get a couple under your belt, and you will. I'm telling you, you will get them under your belt. Once you do, they kind of start flowing. You'd be surprised that that big roadblock that you felt when you first started the first one, by the time you've done your second or third, that roadblock is not even in the rearview mirror. It's so far behind you. And it's, and I'm telling you from personal experience, they just snowball and they just snowball. Now, you're going to have to get a little bit out of your comfort range. You're going to need to share these a little bit. You need to get people's, you know, reactions to your stuff where, oh, yeah, that book, Rule Makers and Rule Breakers by Michelle Gelfand, might just help you understand a little bit of how people are reacting. And then you start taking all this in. Take notes. Take copious notes, okay? And then as you process through this, you're going to just be driving to the market to pick up a dozen eggs, and you're going to look and go, that's a great self-assignment. That's how this works. And it is, it will make your photography just so much fun, so rewarding that you'll get hooked, and that's the goal. So take it on, the self-assignment. You folks have an absolutely marvelous week. I got lots of fun coming up for you. Next week, number 500. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, I don't have any sound effects. Maybe I should do that for next week. Make note to self. You guys take care. Get out and shoot. Make every click your story.